The few, the proud, the brave. Yeah. Everybody looked out there this morning. They pulled the covers back over their head and say, I'm going to watch somebody on TV, I guess. I don't know. But for you that made it out today, God bless you. We think you'll get something out of this visit with us this morning. We certainly hope that everybody does that on their way home, though, does drive careful and slowly, because we don't want to hear of it. And we pray that nobody on the way here has had any malfunctions that would be troublesome to them. Well, there's for those that made it last night, we had beautiful weather last night and yummy food. I wish you could have made it. I made it. It was a gasser. We had a chili cook-off, and the only thing I can really say is, and the Bible tells us, Paul told Timothy to take a little wine for his stomach. He'd have told me to take Beano. Never mind. We're getting carried away with ourselves, my wife says. Anyway, the chili cook-off, we had some contest winners I wanted to announce to you. And that was in the chili cook-off. The number one chili was cooked by Sandy Hammond. We had a gentleman who's been here to church a few times. He's a friend of Teresa's back there. His name was Pat O'Malley. He came in on second. Tom O'Malley. Yeah, that's him too. I got that Pat thing because I never knew her name was Patty.
Oh my God.
That's.
This
young man, well, he and I look, who is he talking to? But anyway, that was her high school known as name. But anyway, it's a friend of hers, and we're glad he came. He won the second, and Roxanne Finley came in third with her chili. Then we had some prize winners in the pie contest for the fruit and nut pie. The first place was Linda Doran, right? Yeah. Second place was Cindy Edger. And third place, again, was Roxanne Finley. For the cream pies, my grandson James Harless won with his pie. Sandy Hammond came in second, and Linda Doran came in third. So, the only thing I have to say is, all you pie winners, what you have won is the opportunity to make one pie a month and bring it in, and we'll all enjoy it together. So you figure out what day y'all want to do that, and we had a good time. It was a lot of fun. It's a fellowship and fun, and so I think we had about 39 folks here last night, so it was a great time together. And that's what part of the Life in Christ fellowship is all about. We want to have life in Christ, but we also want fellowship. I'm going to turn this over. Roxanne is going to share a few things with us today about the missions department, right? You going to do that? Okay.
Thanks, Russ. Well, we started collecting our items for Philippians 2. That's an organization right off of Broad Street, and they take items down to different areas of the city and distribute them throughout the year. They also make meals for them on certain days. So last year we did the same thing. In February we collected items, and we actually came up with 30 gallons of materials that we were able to send to them, as well as a few blankets and coats and that kind of thing. So the items that we're looking for, they were listed in last month's bulletin. You can probably find a flyer out on the bulletin board telling you what kind of things that they need. All kinds of hygiene items, just things that you can pick up at the dollar store or any other place that might have them on sale. And then we'll have also gently used clothing or new clothing if you want to donate something like that. People have already started bringing things in. There's a tub close to the desk out in the foyer, and we really appreciate your participating in that, and I know the people that they serve will appreciate it as well. Continue praying for our missionaries locally and around the world, and I know how much they appreciate that as well. Thank you.
Let me give you my own good morning. It's good to see you today. Now, I could tell you that this next CD I recorded, since we don't have piano players today, but I can't. So it's just straight piano on a recording. Let's stand, shall we? How great thou art. Together, shall we? Job 19:25, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth.
Jesus, God's own Son. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, oh, for sinners slain. Thank you,
Psalm 103, 15 through 17. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. Isn't that a great promise? You may be seated as we continue.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled and striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross has Jesus died. The wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. By darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his. The delight, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me, from life's first cry to final breath. Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Father, we stand here this morning through your power, only by your grace and your mercy in our lives. Lord, every one of us here can go back through our life and say, the Lord took care of me there, the Lord took care of me here. Help us to trust as we should. But we just thank you for the saving power of Jesus Christ. Guide us as we worship in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay. Well, good morning, everyone. Not rain, nor sleet, nor snow can stop the Christian on the go. You know, we think it's the mail, you know, but nothing stops the Lord, does it? Doesn't matter where you are, what you're going through, he's there to hear your prayer, to answer your prayer, to give you peace, comfort, deliverance through whatever circumstance it is. And we're all going through different things, aren't we? Some are dealing with physical problems, financial problems, mental issues, family issues, all kinds of things that we deal with, but we know that God is there with us, and we just have to trust that he knows, right? He knows, he hears it. Amen. And he has an answer for whatever that is going to be this morning. So pray for those that are out on the roads driving around, for us as we go home after this. But those who couldn't make, we have some Zoomers in here. Hello, Zoomers. That's one good alternative that I'm glad we started that a year or two ago. Glad we started that year or two ago, so it gives people a chance to get in. If they can't get in here, if they're sick or whatever it may be, that they can have that avenue to be able to come in and worship together as a family anyway. So that makes it nice, especially if you're sick or something's, you know, going on that you can't get in. So we have any prayer requests this morning or praises, either one? Oh, I see that hand way in the back.
I have one of each. My mom had surgery Wednesday. She lives in Texas. Back surgery, but now a foot is completely numb, and she's going to have to go to rehab. They don't know if it's temporary or if it will be a permanent fix. She's going into rehab unwillingly. And on Friday, I will have officially put up with Dan for 34 years.
Congratulations.
I'd like to have prayer for our youngest grandson, Nathaniel. He'll be 5 next week. Yesterday, he had taken the hospital because he developed a lump on the side of his neck, and he had a stiff neck, and it's all red and like a rash on it, too. He had strep throat this week, and I don't know if that infection traveled over there. Never heard of that before. Anyway, he's still in the hospital, and he's doing better. They put him on IV of antibiotics, but if he doesn't do as well as they hope he will do, they may have to take him to another hospital a couple hours away just to have him thoroughly checked. So my prayer for him. Thank you.
Nathaniel. Well, you wait till I get all the way over here. This is the fun part, too. I think this is fun. I like walking back and forth. Since I can't play soccer, I got to try to walk around as much as I can today.
I always get a little concerned when... when I'm getting bombarded by the same message from the Lord. And it was basically these last couple of weeks, it was like, maybe it's just the beginning of the year. I'm going to say it's that way because The message has always been, you know, God is faithful through adversity. And I'm like, I don't like this message that I'm hearing. I turn on David Jeremiah. I have to be at work at 8:30. So from 8 to 8:30, I drive. And he was on, and he's been talking about how we respond during adversity and times. And then I have probably 5 devotionals that come on my email, and everybody was saying the same thing. So I'm assuming it's the beginning of the year type thing. So you can assume that with me. But I do love the song, Great Is Thy Faithfulness. And just, you know, hearing that, and as David and I have talked about this, we look back in our lives and see God's faithfulness, his hand on us. And many, many, many years ago, when our children were young, Dave lost his job. And it was Life in Christ Fellowship that ministered to us. And they had just started out, and they were in Franklin Heights meeting there. And we had a Christmas where the power had gone out, not because we didn't pay the bill, but because we had a real bad ice storm that winter. And it was one of those times when I remember thinking to myself, can it get any worse? You know, we don't have, you know, Dave's, you know, we have 4 kids, and we really didn't have money for Christmas. And you know what? This church, and they probably many of you don't remember this, but back then they gathered toys and gifts. And I still have a sheet set that somebody donated sheets. And it was just like, how did they know what we needed? And I just think of that, and I think, here we are many, many years later, and we're at Life in Christ Fellowship. And for 11 years, we didn't really even think about Life in Christ because we were ministering in another church at the time. And then that ministry ended, and we tried to find another church. And one Sunday morning, I said to Dave, I said, you know, whatever happened to Life in Christ? Where are they at? What are they doing? And I said, and he said, well, they're out, you know. And I said, oh, that's right. I said, let's go visit. And that was a year ago, I think, or so, and here we are. So, but I just wanted to share that.
Seems like the wife always has the wisdom, doesn't it? The wife always has the wisdom. All right, let's pray this morning. Father, we just thank you for bringing us here this morning safely, that we made it here. Pray you'd be with us, Lord, during your service, for this is about you and not about us, that we sing and look at your word and fellowship with one another. Keep us safe. Lord, help us to be different when we leave than when we came in. Be with those who can't be here this morning, Lord. Touch them with the needs that they may have, and be with those who are traveling. Keep them safe as well. I know that Carolyn Ray will be traveling back from Pennsylvania, so look out for them as well, and be with those looking to have surgeries, those who are moving, those who are changing jobs or losing jobs or whatever it may be, but let them know that you're there with them. Help those who need help with their health recovering. A lot of times this COVID and things, you're just tired for weeks afterwards, but just help them to be encouraged and know that they are loved and that you care for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
So many times I've questioned certain circumstances of things I could not understand. So many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision, my frustration gets so out of hand. It's then I am reminded I've never been forsaken. I never had to stand the test alone. As I look at all the victories, the Spirit rises up in me. It's through the fire my weakness is made strong. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire of hell. I know within myself that I would surely perish, but if I trust the hand of God, you'll shield the flames again. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again. Just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again.
Amen.
Well, have you ever wondered if you make a difference, or if you will make a difference? For some, it's a struggle, and they don't get much encouragement. They just get put down all the time. You know, why are you here? What have you ever done? You're worthless. You know, people like that, you've heard people have that when they were growing up from their parents. Never got any love or encouragement from them, just all the bad things they ever did. You know, you do this, you do that. Wish we didn't have you. I can't imagine growing up in a home like that or having a life like that. Some people wish they'd never been born. They just feel insignificant. Now, year after year, that movie comes out, doesn't it? It's a Wonderful Life. And you look at that and you think of George Bailey. If you've watched it before, probably most people have seen it before. He runs a building and loan company. He's helping underprivileged people with their businesses and also to get homes that couldn't afford them. And one day, good old Uncle Billy goes to the bank with a wad of money, leaves it on the counter, forgets, and walks out. He goes back, and his competitor has stolen it, right? Mr. Potter, yep, has stolen it. And George is beside himself. He looks to jump off a bridge. I got a clip on here. I don't know if it's going to play or not. It's going to play. Okay. Anyway, you can see the bridge. So he plans on jumping off this bridge, and he meets a angel. Remember the angel there talking about him? He says, I wish I'd never been born. He said, George, I don't think you want to do that. Yeah, I wish I was never born. So he goes through, and what happens is he goes through George's life and tells him all the things, lets him go through town, and now it's called Pottersville, right, instead of his town. And so he goes through, and he sees the girl that he had married. Well, she's an old maid now. Never got married. She stayed in the library the whole time. Never got married because he never married her. Never had any kids. His brother was dead because he didn't save him when he was a kid when he fell through the ice. The people that he had helped with businesses didn't have him anymore. And those who had houses didn't have those anymore. So he realizes he did make a difference. His life did count. And it touched many other people. And maybe you felt like George at one time or another, wish I'd never been here. Man, I always seem to mess things up and nobody cares about me. But it's called a wonderful life. And we don't notice sometimes how wonderful our life really is, do we? We don't think about the life we have. If you think back at your life, how many good things you've had and how God has brought you through different circumstances and trials and struggles and whatever it's been. You know, I think when I was a kid, my parents got divorced. And actually, that was a catalyst for me to not be like that. My dad was an alcoholic, and I said, I'm not going to be like that. So, you know, bad things happen, and sometimes they change our trajectory. They change the way we could have gone, but because of these things that happened, it may be a bad thing in our life, and we take a different path. Say, well, I'm not going to do that, or because of that, I'm not going to treat people that way. Well, we can't forget that God made us as his creation. We're all special, aren't we? Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We were created to do good works for Jesus. So you were made the way God wants you to be made. You know, you could say, I wish I was taller, I wish I was shorter, I wish I was bigger, I wish I was smaller, I wish I was older, I wish I was younger. You can have a lot of wishes, but God has you just where you are, the way you're supposed to be, because you contact people that some people can't contact. You're there to share with them. You've gone through experiences. Like I know Joy talks about this. I talked before about when she got in a car wreck and had her jaw wired shut. I can't imagine what that's like. You know, having your jaw wired shut, trying to eat and drink, and the frustration of those things. But she could tell you, hey, I made it through. You can make it through that. It's not a fun thing. It's a horrible experience. But yet, here I am today. I can eat and drink and everything else, and I made it through that experience. You know, or you've had whatever operation, or you've had something happen in your family. You've had your parents got divorced, and you think, oh, I don't know if I can take it. Well, you can make it through. But the thing that I don't like when people says, well, because your family has done that, you're destined to do it. That's ridiculous. You can do whatever God has you to do. It doesn't matter what situation you grew up in, right? Doesn't matter what your family's like. Doesn't matter where you are. If God wants to use you in a certain way, then he can use you in that way. But you're supposed to be the light of the world to your neighbors. Even though it seems a lot of times not your neighbors, you don't see them. They come home and go in their house. So sometimes when they're out, I'll try to say hi to them when they're getting the mail. Because you don't really see them, but try to make a little bit of difference if you can. Be kind to those who are poor. A lot of times you look down on people like, oh, you're pretty filthy, dirty. Well, we don't know what circumstance got them to that point, do we? They could have been a millionaire at one point and lost everything, which wasn't their fault. They could have had perfect health, and then they got some kind of disease. So we don't know where people came from. Take care of widows and orphans and all the rest. If we could do what George Bailey did and see what it's like to never be born, we would see all the people that we've touched in our lives. So think about sometime, all the people you've talked to and made a difference in their lives and those who have done the same for you. What if you hadn't had some of your people that had mentored you or gave you good advice at one time? Where would you be? You know, maybe you'd have lost everything by now. Maybe you have lost it and got it back. Who knows? But the enemy likes nothing better than for us to feel useless and to give up. Like, well, why should I even try? Right? Why should I even try that? I tried being a Christian, but I failed, I sinned, so I can't do it, I'm done. What kind of effort would that be? Think about how America has created with all the people that had ideas and inventions that tried over and over and over again. You know, Thomas Edison, I can't remember the number of inventions, but it was hundreds of inventions. He tried, didn't work, tried and didn't work, tried and didn't work. And how many things have been made out of necessity or by accident? You look up on the internet, accidental inventions, Velcro and some of those things, Double-sided tape was accident. But they just kept trying things and they got to where God wanted them to be in most cases. But our life should be a representation of him here on earth. And I've been thinking about two phrases that I heard. One is, Christmas changes everything. And the other one is, Christ makes all the difference. Those two phrases, do we really believe that? That Christmas changes everything? Birth of Christ changes everything? A lot of people don't even know what Christmas is about, besides getting presents. Did the birth of Jesus really change anything? Did he make any difference? Yeah, John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that they can have life and have it more abundantly. I think some people misinterpret that as meaning I'm going to have a lot of things in my life. I'm going to have all these things. I think it's an abundant spiritual life he's going to give us, that it doesn't matter what things you have or don't have, you're still going to have an abundant life. what things have changed or been influenced as a result of Jesus coming to earth and dying on the cross. I looked up some things. There's a guy named Dr. Peter Hammond. Oh, Pete, maybe, is that your brother? Is that you? That was Pete. Oh, it's Pete, okay. Dr. Peter Hammond back here. Talks about a few things that I've adapted a little bit, but I'm going to share how Jesus changed the world forever. He's the only person to be born of a virgin. He's the only religious leader to raise from the dead. But that's not all. We know that he transcends time and that he's the Alpha and the Omega. He also transformed the way we measure time. B.C., before Christ, A.D., people used to say it meant after his death, but it means Anno Domini, which is Latin for the year of our Lord, and it measures the number of years since Jesus' birth. That's not measured by Buddha or Muhammad, right, or Joseph Smith or anybody else, but by Christ. So he affects all of our time. He's also the central figure in history. More books have been written about Jesus Christ than any other person in history. One source I found said it was tens of thousands of books that have been written about Christ. Tens of thousands of books. How did Christianity have an influence in the world? It says that, do you know that the declaration of Christianity as an accepted religion in the Roman Empire drove an expansion of provision and care, which means providing care for others? So in 325 AD, the construction of a hospital in every cathedral town was begun. They began hospitals and caring for people. They had a big influence on the establishment of hospitals and caring for the sick. And today, a lot of medical services and institutions began as Christian services. This is one that I didn't know. Crusading knights not only took part in battles to control foreign lands and expand the Christian empire, they also had a military escort role in protecting pilgrims from bandits. Another part of the Christianity. They offered medical care in the year 600. Pope Gregory ordered that the building of a hospital in Jerusalem be done for that purpose. So the healing symbol of hospitals is the cross. Interesting, isn't it? The nursing profession was founded by Christians such as Florence Nightingale out of devotion for Christ. And one of history's greatest humanitarian movements is the International Red Cross by a Christian named Henry Dunant, in response to the scripture saying we're supposed to care for the sick and the injured. What about Dr. Louis Pasteur? He had a lot of great medical advances and practices and saved more lives than any other individual in history because of his inventions. And then the whole concept of charity, which means giving, was a Christian innovation. Benevolence to strangers was unknown before Christ. The teaching example of Jesus Christ have inspired the great acts of generosity, hospitality, self-sacrifice, service for the poor, sick and needy for over 2,000 years. Matthew 14 talks about when Christ had compassion on the 5,000 and fed the 5,000. James 1 tells about looking after widows and orphans, and before the advent of Christianity, many cultures practiced slavery and human sacrifice. Even the Greek and Roman civilizations. Child sacrifice was common among pagan religions. The Aztec Empire in Mexico and the Inca Empire in Peru engaged in slavery and mass human sacrifice. And nowadays it's been almost totally eradicated because of the start of William Wilberforce and David Livingston, who had respect for life, liberty, because of their Christian beliefs. So you think Christ has had a positive impact on the world? Christianity? Everything from education to human rights to public health, economic liberty, can be traced back to the Christian Revolution, which means when Christ came and revolutionized the world. You think Jesus was the greatest teacher ever known? So people don't listen, do they? You can teach whatever you want, but people don't always necessarily listen to what you're saying. It says, when he spoke, they were astonished at his teachings, for he taught them as one having authority. Mark 1:22. He gave an example, and he started education. So when you're teaching, you're educating, aren't you? He's one of the first Christian educators would have been Christ. They established schools, Christians taught in schools, everybody, including girls, women, boys, didn't matter the sex, they were given an education. Greeks and Romans before the birth of Christ didn't normally educate girls, only boys or the privileged got an education, but Christianity revolutionized education, made it available to all classes and both genders. Some places still don't do that, do they? Like in the Muslim world, a lot of times women don't get educated. Galatians 3:28, there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female, you're all one in Christ. It was the Christian faith that gave rise to higher education. One of the greatest inventions of the learning field is the printing press. You know who invented the printing press? Gutenberg. Also a fruit of the Christian faith. The first book printed was what? The Bible. Most languages of the world are translated by Christian missionaries. There's another influence of being a Christian. The concept of graded education was introduced by John Sturm in the 16th century. Another Lutheran, Friedrich Froebel, introduced kindergartens. Kindergartens. Oh, gardens for little kinters. Sunday schools began by Robert Raikes to provide boys and girls from the poorest homes the gift of literacy. Being able to read and write is a gift, isn't it? Imagine trying to function. If you can't read, you can't write. You just got to look at pictures and hear what people say. In Christ, before Christ, human life in the Greek world was extremely cheap. Infants with physical defects such as blindness were commonly abandoned. But Christ showed compassion to the blind, didn't he? The blind, the weak, the hurt, the sick, the infirmed. Ten Commandments laid the foundation for legal foundation for Western civilization at that time. Now it's being changed, isn't it? Trying to take that out. They're trying to change things that have happened in the past and try to take out history. A lot of this stuff, maybe you haven't heard some of this stuff. They're trying to take some of this stuff out, so it's changed. They put something different in. So the life of Christ has been inspired and led to the greatest literature, the greatest art, the greatest examples of architecture, exploration, missions, the rule of law, separation of powers, checks and balances, representative government, sanctity of life, compassion for the poor, blind and needy, and more. His teachings have been the most powerful transforming thing of religion, philosophy, for nations, for people, for life. The Bible is the greatest book that was ever written. How do you think life would be different now if Christ never came? We didn't have the Bible. Where do you think we would be today? People are saying, right, there's no Christ. Christianity is a myth. It doesn't exist. We'd be sacrificing to idols, which is coming back, isn't it? In some ways, we're sacrificing some of these idols. A lot of TV stars, music stars become idols of people. We'd be throwing babies off cliffs as sacrifices. Our learning wouldn't be the same. Our government would be worse than it is. Our laws and our salvation would be non-existent. So imagine what it's like to live in a lawless society. We have some laws people don't obey. But for the most part, most people obey them and there's a consequence. But imagine if there was no law and no consequence. What would our society be like? It'd be chaos. In some ways, we're heading in that direction, aren't we? About what the end times are going to be like, we're heading towards that direction. But we still have the hope of Christ. We still have him. We know what the end is going to be. So did Jesus make a difference? Yes. Did Christianity make a difference? Did Christmas make a difference? And as it did, and as a result, we're blessed with great preachers, teachers like the Apostle Paul. Some more new ones are Billy Graham, D.L. Moody, John Wesley, Josh McDowell, and you can list a whole bunch of teachers and preachers that are out there preaching God's word. The thing we have now that they didn't have is media, right? Radio, TV, all those things. Brian asked me a question the other day. Jesus said, you'll do greater things than me, and I'm like, I don't know. He said, maybe it's from mass media, maybe because we have more effect on more people than he did. But I asked five pastors that question, Brian. They all said, never thought about that. Let me think about it. So we got to think, when he says we're going to do greater things than he did, what does that mean? That's a good question. Good for us to think about those things. I think some of it has to do with the number of people we can contact now. By phone, we have text, we have mail, we have, you know, all kinds of stuff we can do that they didn't have that ability. But we have ability and responsibility to share with those around us in those efforts. Even if it's just, you know, I'm praying for you. How are you doing today? Those kind of things. That need to be a big sermon. Where'd we be without people surrendering to Christ? What difference has Jesus made in your life? Where would you be today without him? And I was thinking about some of the things in the Bible, you know. Paul, you know, different ones that the apostles, the woman with the issue of blood that touched the hem of his garment, the lady at the well, all those people's lives that he touched in just that small little area where he's at. But how many lives can we touch? I mean, we can touch people across the globe, right? Australia, Macedonia, Mexico, I mean, Michigan. All those people that need Christ, right? I'm sure you can say that, so I'll just say it for you. Well, one has been saved. But just think about the difference that we need to make or we can't make with people's lives. And the abilities that we have. If somebody doesn't know Christ, what do you tell them? You just need to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. There's no certain prayer you have to pray. You know, we say you got to say, Father, forgive me, and, you know, come into my life and all these things, but the Bible just says, I stand at the door and knock. You open the door, ask me to come in, I'll come in. And then you learn about repentance, asking for forgiveness of sins and all those things, but you can use whatever one you want. When I was in college, we used the four spiritual laws. The reason we did is because people could actually see it while you're doing it, and then you hand it to them when they're done. Because sometimes when you, after you accept Christ, you say, did that really happen? Did I really accept him, or did I just say words? So you want some assurance. That's why a lot of times when somebody gets saved, you'll have them write it in their Bible and put the date and where it happened so they can look back on it and say, yes, that did happen. We can tell them that they're a new creation. Their sins can be forgiven. They have a home in heaven. All those kinds of things that we can do to make a difference in people's lives. So if Christ makes a difference in you, then you should be able to make a difference in somebody else, right? Your job should be just to be a good Christian, and to share when the opportunity's there. I'm not into the people taking the Bible and banging it around, and some people do that. That's not me. I'll just talk to people in general and try to share with them. Maybe say, can I pray for you, or how are things going, or did you ever think about Christ, or whatever it may be. But I was looking at something, and I found this thing. It's called Wise Men Still Seek Him. And if you think about what it says, there's a lot of things in here. Says he became like us, that we may become like him. He was rejected, that we might be accepted. He was condemned, that we might be forgiven. He was punished, that we might be pardoned. He suffered, that we might be strengthened. He was whipped, that we might be healed. He was hated that we might be loved. He was crucified that we might be justified. And to me, justified is just as if I'd never done it. He was tortured that we might be comforted. He died that we might live. He went to hell that we might go to heaven. He endured what we deserve that we might enjoy only what he deserves. So yes, Jesus and Christianity has made a difference. They did make a difference. They still do make a difference. And they'll make a difference as long as we're here on this earth, won't they? So I think our job as Christians is to try to pass that on to somebody else. Whether it's your child, your grandchild, friend, neighbor. So they'll pass it on to somebody else. That's how multiplication works. It's not just 2 times 2. One person tells 2 people who tell 2 more people, tell 3 more people, and it just keeps getting bigger. It was a big philosophy in Campus Crusade for Christ, was multiplication and discipleship. And you have a group, and then they tell a group, and they tell a group, and that's how it happens. So our job is not to change people. Our job is to tell them about the person who can change people. So yes, Christianity and Christ does make a difference. And he's made a difference in you. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning. Thanks for being with us. Keep us safe as we travel home. Help us to be examples for you, Lord. Help us look in your word and see how many lives you changed and what would have happened had you not touched those people's lives. Where would we be today? What about the man who was let down through the roof and who was healed? And the leper who was healed, and the blind who was healed, and the one who couldn't speak, and all those ones that we read about, Lord. Things that you've actually done that are real things, not just good stories, but they're actually miracles that have happened, and they still happen today. So we ask you to touch our hearts, touch our lives. Let us share the difference that you've made in us. In your name, amen.
Stand, shall we? As we close out, I have decided to follow Jesus. Follow along. You have to sing. There's no piano, so I want you to join me here, okay? I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Hasn't it good to be in the house of the Lord today? Be careful out there, okay? We'll see you next week. Thank you.